Sarah Windham's story, 2005. The Council on Jewish History in New York City, called the CJH for short, is located in a limestone mansion built by a turn-of-the-last-century robber baron in imitation of some great European pile. Rows of scallop and nautilus shells circle the ground floor frieze. Bronze dolphins dance the quadrille in the cascading fountain of the inner court, used for spring fundraisers, cocktail parties, and the occasional doomed tryst between resident scholars. Around the library wainscoting, carved in Hebrew letters, the motto, "Knowledge is power," appears. And potential donors, being given the grand tour of the Sanctum Sanctorum, are often moved to remark on the almost sacerdotal feeling of the place. What they mean is that it is a portentous and gloomy space. The CJH is the oldest Jewish research institute in New York and the most prestigious. Sarah Windham was taken on her first tour of this impressive edifice on a brilliant day in April when the inner courtyard was ablaze with cherry blossoms brought back from Japan by a horticulturally inclined Warburg, or was it a Rothschild? Even afterwards, even when she had been toiling in the library there for several months, Sarah could never remember. The sky was that sublime Côte d'Azur blue of isolated spring days in New York, and birds were singing in the blossoming trees. Sarah followed CJH's director of development, Lisette de Hirsch, a stalwart but fashionably anorectic woman in her late 50s, who was partial to black vintage Chanel suits with gold buttons, brilliant scarves with rampant suns and moons upon them, and low-heeled shoes handmade in Venice by a cobbler who also supplied the dancers of the Fenice and La Scala theaters. She was an old family friend of Sarah's not-quite-stepmother, Sandrine, who had always encouraged Sarah to call her for a job. Lisette de Hirsch did not need the salary her position provided. Her husband was from an ancient Jewish family that had quadrupled its money in every boom since the Civil War and preserved its capital in every bust, including the Great Depression. But Sarah was not so fortunate. Not yet 30, with masses of wavy auburn hair, a voluptuous but somehow also slim-waisted figure, green eyes with yellow flecks that made you think of topazes one moment and emeralds the next, and an aristocratic aquiline nose like an Italian Renaissance beauty painted by Bronzino, she desperately needed the grant she was interviewing for. She had booted her husband out on New Year's Day after discovering that he was bewitched by his 22-year-old graduate assistant, Stoddard, nicknamed Stoddy Van Meissen, the Nazi Schicksal from hell. This left Sarah with their 6-year-old daughter Dove to support, the rent on a West Side co-op, and not a penny in child support. Lloyd now had his PhD in history, and Sarah, despite having supported all three of them, had most of hers, all but the dissertation. They had both received fellowships to grad school, but there had been the cost of babysitters, preschools, and the other unexpected expenses of parenting, so that by the time Lloyd fell under the spell of study, Sarah's small savings were long gone. Lloyd had promised to support the family while Sarah finished her dissertation. But before that could happen, Prinzessin von Meissen waltzed into Lloyd's seminar on modern Jewish history at Columbia and sang the siren song of youth and schicksitude that lures Jewish men from the partners who have increasingly begun to remind them of their mothers and grandmothers. Lloyd was now beginning to make noises about wanting to come back, but Sarah was suddenly not so sure she wanted him. She had come to like her independent life, rigorous as it was. "It's an amazing building," said Sarah, hoping to ingratiate herself with Lisette de Hirsch, who absolutely glowed with pride during the tour. Privately, Sarah thought the place over the top, a mishmash of architectural styles, none of them in the best of taste. The library was crammed with leather-bound volumes housed in dark mahogany bookcases, one of which revolved to expose a spiral staircase leading down to several levels of library stacks and a secret conference room with a round conference table that had been built into the bedrock of Manhattan.